We hear the message that Jesus sent out his disciples two by two, and immediately our minds begin to see the watchtower journal in our hands by the two Jehovah's Witnesses at our door, or two handsome-looking young men from the Mormon church walking down your street so purposefully and with a mission. And so we think, well, Jesus didn't really mean that for us, did he? Yes? Somebody say yes, okay. After all, we have professionals doing that. We're going to have the Chan family from Cambodia. They are professional missionaries. That's their job. And we also have the big agencies like the General Board of Global Ministries and United Methodist Committee on Relief and the Church World Service. All these big organizations, we've organized them to do that kind of thing. But for us to go two by two, Jesus, I don't think you really mean that to us. But when we read the Gospels, we realize that Jesus was very persistent and very personal when he spoke these words. In chapter 10, he tells the 72, don't even greet the people when you're on the way. It was as if he expected his disciples to have such a focus, such a laser-like determination that everything else was supposed to be out of their attention, just to go and announce that the kingdom of God is near. There is such a singularity of purpose in Jesus that it's hard to ignore his words. This year we are beginning the celebration of our 125th anniversary, our quasicentennial. And I thought about our mission. What is it that God will have us to be and to do? And I thought, isn't it that God is calling us to go back to the basics of what it means to be the church? So during our summer month, I want us to think deeply and long about what is our mission? What is our church? What is that community that's around us? And what are the needs of our neighbors that we are to listen to and hear? Of course, going back to the basics doesn't mean that we're trying to copy something that our forerunners did, but it is to say that we know why we are here and we know where we are headed. I hope that we can get to that place at least by the end of summer. Is this call to mission in Luke 10 something that applies to us? And I think it does. First of all, Jesus says, look at the harvest. See how big it is. See how plentiful it is. And if we look around our world, I think you all agree with me that there is so much death and disease, despair, dispute, distortions that still demand the gospel of Christ. If we are ready to listen, there are so many calling out for help from us. Is the harvest plentiful? Are there enough workers? We learned that malaria kills a child every 60 seconds. We hear that every 20 seconds, a child around the world dies from water-related diseases. Every 2 minutes, an American gets killed from some gun violence. And our nation spends more money on our defense, $680 billion, which is bigger than the next 12 countries combined. The world is crying out for peace. It's looking for peacemakers. It asks, where are the peaceable people, personal peace? Are there any such people among us? And of course, we come to these 72 See, all of us know so much about the 12 because they are always listed in the grocery list, right? Starting with Peter and then ending with Judas. So we know even their names and what they did, but these 72, who's heard of them? The Greek Orthodox Church actually has names for each of these folk. Of course, not everybody agrees, and even their list goes back and forth. People are added and, you know, corrections are made. But in the Greek Orthodox Church, on January the 4th, they celebrate these 72. And then they have a special feast day for each one of these 72. So it seems to me that each of the believers who followed Jesus, the initial 72, Jesus sent all of them out, including the 12. So that includes us, I think. When Jesus sends out the 72, he's also sending us out. To do what, we might ask? They responded to the message of the kingdom, and Jesus told them, now take that message. Be the peace wherever you go. Heal the sick. Heal the communities where you are. In the spring of 1888, Reverend G.W. Beattie of Los Gatos Methodist Church began to hold services for the Methodists living in Campbell. And he began to hold services in the town hall. And then by July of that year, July 17th, 1888, five families made this class of 12. There were the Kennedys, the Swopes, the Blaines, and the Mrs. Willett and Mrs. Shelley. Misery Ann Kennedy and her son, William Alexander, and her two daughters, Mary Jane and Selena Elizabeth, William H. and Laura Campbell Swope. Mrs. Campbell was the daughter of the man who founded Campbell. And then John and Amanda Blaine and their daughter Mary Mammy and son Frank, and then Mrs. Amanda Willett and Mrs. Mary Shelley. Mrs. Shelley's daughter married Mr. Ainsley, who opened up a cannery in this town. In 15 years, by 1903, the church had grown from 12 to 132 active members. These 12 also had gone out and had spread the good news that they had found in Jesus. I'm sure the 12 gathered five families to bear each other's burdens, to pray for each other, to dream about what Campbell could become, and to do their part to make this part of the nation a great place to live. It was through these folks that Campbell also became the Orchard City, a place that provided so much of fruits and vegetables around the nation. The eight panels on our wall reflect how our church changed in terms of our buildings even. There were four different buildings that we've used to worship God. We realized in each place something different happened. New leaders appeared. New missions developed. But God took us from each place, and now we are here in this place. Not to do the same things that our forebears did, but to be in mission, to bear each other's burdens, and to be the people of peace in this city. What can we do to follow the footsteps of these 72? I invite us to do just three simple things this week. I hope that we can look around and see the harvest field and hear the voices of those who are crying out, those who are suffering, those who are seeking, even the voice of the voiceless who live in silence and loneliness around us. May God open our eyes to see the big harvest that's in our midst. Secondly, Jesus said that we should pray to the Lord of the harvest to send more workers, and also that we also will be sent as workers into the harvest. And then lastly, Jesus said, when you go there, be the person of peace. I don't know what it will mean for you to be a person of peace in your neighborhood, or maybe in your family, or maybe at your work, or maybe even in our church. Go, Jesus speaks to us. The harvest is plentiful in a hurting world. As God has sent me, so I send you. Where can we start? You might wonder. And the words that I shared with our children may be the first place to start. Bear each other's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do good to all people. Jesus sends us with his mission to do it right here, right now, here at Campbell. Who among us would dare to walk in the footsteps of the 72? May God give us that courage and that vision. Amen.